And let's get things started by talking some baseball. A remarkable regular season has come to an end, and now we get ready for the playoffs later this week. To talk more about that, we're joined by the radio voice of the Red Sox, our friend Tim Neverett. Tim, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. Great to talk to you again. How you been?
I'm doing great. And what a fun regular season this was. I think of our buddy Gary Thorne, the Maine native, having to slog his way through a 45-win season in Baltimore. That's the worst of times. 108 wins, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, I just had dinner with Gary when the Orioles were in. He had dinner with Joe and I one night, and he was counting them down to the end. he still spends time in Maine, and he's looking forward to getting back there for a little bit, but then out to California and all over the place. But yeah, it's tough for the Orioles, but for the Red Sox, it's been amazing. It really has been. And, we've never seen a season like this ever. 108 wins, and, you got everything wrapped up a week plus ahead of time, and then you can, mix and match and experiment here and, audition there and rest guys. And so now, they have workouts scheduled tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, and then they'll have to flip the switch and get right back into game mode for game one on Friday night against either the A's or the Yankees.
Obviously, there were some tremendous individual seasons. Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez, Xander Bogaerts with a big year. But how much credit, Tim, should go to manager Alex Cora?
Well, I think a lot. He's a really good communicator. He is younger and, was actually teammates with a couple of these guys, Dustin Pedroia and very briefly Mitch Moreland. But he doesn't let that get in the way of anything. In other words, he can be considered a player's manager. He understands. He's got an exceptional memory. It seemed like a lot of the buttons that he pushed this year worked in terms of, when he made a move pinch hitting wise or pitching wise. They're not all going to work, but most of them did. And he wasn't rattled at all at any point during the course of the season. You never looked down the dugout and saw a face of concern or anything. For a guy who hadn't managed a full major league season before, you never really knew there was any kind of an issue. We give him a lot of credit and spend a lot of time with him during the season and get to talk to him one-on-one pretty often and get to learn a lot about what he's thinking about and how he's thinking of managing that particular night or that week. In terms of resting guys and making sure guys are healthy for just this, the stretch run, which they need to win 11 games. And that's what they've simplified it to. They want 11 more wins starting Friday night. And I think Friday night obviously is the key game to the whole postseason. You win the first game of the division series at home, that's going to set the tone for the rest of it.
When you look at the bullpen, that's one of the areas of concern for fans, and Alex Cora was able to test a lot of guys here in the last week or so in some fairly low-leverage situations. Do you think he knows who he wants to have and the roles for each of those people in the pen?
I think he does. I know he does by now, and maybe one spot could depend on who the opponent is. So, they're not going to announce anything until Thursday. At the earliest. They don't have to announce anything until Friday, to be honest. But I think they're going to announce their roster sometime late Thursday. I think there'll be some, things that are expected. I mean, the back-end guys, Ryan Brazier is going to make it, and that's been such a good story all year. He's been really, really good, and he deserves to be on that playoff roster and pitching late in games. Matt Barnes is going to be an important guy. Of course, Kimball will be there. Stephen Wright is going to be on it, I would think, because of the different look he can give you with a knuckleball. And Eduardo Rodriguez adds a whole different dimension to that bullpen now. So that is a really big thing. I think that, when they talk about adding pieces to the bullpen, well, there's one right there.
Right.
That is pretty, that can be pretty effective. Plus he can go multiple innings if you need him. So, I'm looking forward to seeing what the final 25 will look like. I think they'll carry three catchers. I think Blake Swihart will be on there because he can do all kinds of things. And the other Swiss Army knife will be Brock Holt, and Brock could play a very important role in these playoffs spelling people here and there, coming in late. He's been swinging a great bat lately, so I know he'll be on that 25-man roster. But we look forward to Thursday, and hopefully we find out in the afternoon who the final 25 guys are going to be for that first round.
Well, you mentioned Brock Holt, and he's another one of the unsung heroes of this team. 46 runs batted in, which seemed to come out of nowhere for a guy who in the past had been, 20, 25 RBIs a season.
Yeah, especially in the second half, and really this month. He's had a great month of September. As far as extra base hits are concerned, RBIs, home runs, pinch hitting, he's going to be a key guy. And let's just say you go to the World Series and you got to play in the National League City, then he becomes even more key as a pinch hitter off the bench for your pitcher sometime in the mid to late innings. So, he could really be one of those guys that you find during the postseason that, I guess if for lack of a better term, comes out of nowhere and does things that people don't expect. There's always somebody in a postseason that just puts it all together in October and, maybe not the superstar you think or that you expect things out of, like a Mookie Betts or a J.D. Martinez, but I think Brock Holt could be a key guy in this postseason. Just, one swing of the bat here and there, maybe one defensive play here and there, but I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do.
We're talking with Red Sox broadcaster Tim Neverett here on Downtown. The Red Sox were so careful with Chris Sale and handling him. He didn't pitch a lot of innings after the month of July. But are they confident that he is where he needs to be heading into the playoffs?
I think so. They thought that there was a little mechanical issue that caused a little bit of a drop in velocity his last time out, but they say he's a full go. Chris says he's a full go, and he's ready. And the Red Sox say the same thing. So we'll see. And when he comes out there on Friday night, if we see him get it back up there to 95, 96, and even 97 miles an hour on occasion, we're going to know that that mechanical issue is fixed and that he is all, back on all cylinders. And that's what the Red Sox need out of Chris Sale. It's been kind of like a second spring training for him, to be honest. Mm. But now he's going to come out, and they need at least six innings out of him. Seven innings would be great if he can get that against either the Yankees or the A's Friday night. And I'm not going to say the whole postseason rests on the shoulders of Chris Sale in game one of the division series, but, it certainly is going to be a big, big boost for the Red Sox if they can come out of their 1-0 with David Price pitching the next day at home, where he's pitched exceptionally well, and a chance to go up 2-0 heading out to the Road City.
Obviously, when you win 108 games, you can take on all comers, but is there a better matchup from your perspective with either the A's or the Yankees?
The A's are a tough team, and they played the Red Sox pretty tough. In fact, won the season series against Boston this year. The Yankees, there's just that familiarity. Where you can pitch guys, you can pitch right-handers away at Fenway Park, and you got to pitch him in at Yankee Stadium. So there's a lot of familiarity with the Yankees. I think, the Yankees starting pitching is not very strong, not as strong as their bullpen tends to be. But, the Red Sox in this series, one of the silver linings they took out of the series where they lost 2 out of 3 was, how they did against the Yankee bullpen guys, the regular guys. And they got a bunch of runs off them. And that was one thing they took out of that series as a positive. Of course, they were treating the games in terms of the pitching staff like a spring training script. So it wasn't like a regular game in that way. The Yankees were doing the same, but they were using their primary relievers for the most part. The Red Sox saved those guys for the last game yesterday. But there really isn't a – I guess because you've seen the Yankees 19 times already, you'd probably rather see them from the travel standpoint, it's a much shorter trip than Oakland. But I think the Red Sox are ready to take on, whichever team. They're, obviously, everybody is going to be watching tomorrow night to see what's going to happen and who the opponent will be. But, I really couldn't pick one, to be honest with you, because, I think I feel like they feel, either one, bring them on. I mean, you got to beat them anyway in order to get to the next round. So, the only X factor, though, with the A's is they may try to use a different pitching plan tomorrow night. I'm hearing they're going to go with the Tampa Bay plan for tomorrow in the wild card game.
Interesting.
And use an opener. And, then use the bullpen and then save their best starter for game one Friday. So I think that's kind of a big gamble, but that's what I'm hearing they might do for the wild card game Wednesday night.
Very interesting indeed. Tim, in a season full of so many great highlights, is there one game or one moment that stands out to you that might end up being the most memorable of the regular season for you?
Well, there are many. There was one that was rather personal, and it was on July 27th when Mookie Betts hit the walk-off homer in the 10th inning. And that was the day that my father had passed away that morning. And I told Mookie about it the next day, and you know how he helped me get through that whole day and night, and that's one I'll never forget on a personal note. But also another one, we had a 13 pitch at bat and hit a grand slam.
Right.
You could go up and down the list of memorable plays. There were so many of them this year. You know, you compare to the division-winning team in 2017, they didn't have a single grand slam. There were 10 of them this year. The offensive numbers were off the charts. Even the, 2016 when they won the division and David Ortiz had his final season, the offensive numbers were incredible then. But this year, even better. And we got to witness a 30-30 guy, Mookie Betts, with a 30-30 season, only the second one in Red Sox history. The numbers that J.D. Martinez put up were MVP worthy without doubt. And Xander Bogaerts had a career year with over 100 runs batted in, 103 in 23 home runs, a career high for him there. So there were so many memories, but I think, for me, on a personal level, that July 27th home run that Mookie Betts hit was it.
Well, that was a wonderful moment and a great call on your part as well. We look forward to lots more great memories here in the postseason. Can't wait to hear you and Joe on the call as the playoffs get underway on Friday. Tim, I always appreciate you making time for us, and let's hope for a deep playoff run for you and Joe and the Red Sox.
Yeah, we hope so, Rich, because I know it's going to start getting colder in Bangor. So we want at least baseball to help keep people warmer. It's starting to get a little chilly here in New Hampshire where I am right now. So I think that we're all looking forward to a long playoff run, and I hope we get it. I really think they have what it takes to win the World Series, and I hope we're having a duck boat parade on the 1st of November.
That sounds great. Tim, thank you as always, and we'll talk with you again down the road.
All right, Rich, thanks.
That's Tim Neverett, voice of the Red Sox Baseball Radio Network here on Downtown.